You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Gospel according to John, if you will, the third chapter, just one verse, reading from the King James Version, verse 16, very familiar scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, for God so loved the world. Yes, yes, yes. That he gave his only begotten Son. From this particular verse, we lift our theme, love. Want to preach about love. Love identified, love qualified, love summarized. What love is, what love does, and the evidence, yes, watch out, of love. Love's origin, love's action, and love authentication. Where love comes from. Exercising love. Showing true, genuine, valid love. Well, love originated with God. And it is executed by Christ and certified by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, yes. Oh, I'm right about it. Yes, Lord. Listen. Love is one of the most underrated and misused terms and concepts in America and throughout, yes, this entire world. Oh, yeah, you got that right. I can't count the many times that I told many lovely young ladies over the course of my life. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? How many times I told that young lady, I love you. How many times I told her I walked through fire for you. Yeah, but there's only one. There's only one. Let me go there real quick so you understand it. There's only one. I'm going to reemphasize that. Vanita. I strive, I spent 50 years striving to encourage and demonstrate to her that I love her. In fact, I've gotten somewhat poetic in my expressions. I told her she was the wet in my water. Water refreshes you. I tell her she's my sunshine. She said, oh, so you just talking. I say, yes, you are radiant. You are my sunshine. I say, when I look at you, you got eyes like dove. Skin that, yeah, watch out, Reverend Resha. Like satin. It is exhilarating to touch. I said, the very aroma of your presence is like jasmine. You're sweet. Yes, yes. And your voice is melodious. It's like a song that soothes the very soul. You are my sunshine. We're talking about love. Yes, yes, yes. You see, we continue to misuse this term in all of our relationships with family, friends, government, in our institutions, and especially in our local churches. You see, true love is more than just an idea or feeling. It is the innate, listen, it is the innate, yes, virtue of God. It was inherited by man when God created us in his image. Therefore, every human being has the capacity to love. Because we inherited this virtue from God. Yes, yes. Now, virtuous love is, from the original writings, agape. It is unconditional. It is a love which we inherited from God, but man contaminated it in the Garden of Eden when man sinned. And just like all other principles of God, man refused to obey and rejected God's laws and principles. Now, as a result of this, get this, will you? There are two kinds of love. Divine love, that is the agape, and worldly love, the carnal aspect of love. Carnal love relates to the physical and especially sexual, sensual, erotic, and lustful needs and activities, needs of the flesh, superficial love. You know, watch out. Come on, Rem Register. Superficial love. You know, we're talking loud and acting a different way. I ain't gonna say saying nothing, but talking loud and acting a different way. Lacking in substance, self-indulgent, impure, secular. Someone said, yes, love is a complex set of emotions, behavior, ideas, and beliefs associated with strong affections. But let me appeal to your intellect. Listen. Love may be viewed, I tell you, as an idea or feeling, but it is more than that. Don't you get it? It's more than that. It is the energetic fiber of our being. Ideals are interpretations, and interpretations can be subjective or objective. If it's subjective, it is based upon your personal feelings, tastes, or opinions. If it's objective, it is the object of one's goal or efforts or unbiased opinions, but not true love. Yes, Lord. Especially if it is a symbolic pointer in and is not the reality of its points. If your perspective of love is subjective, then it is based upon, get this now, your idea of how you perceive love to be, which may or may not now be genuine or real. Yes. If your perception is objective, get this now, then it is based upon your feeling towards a person or thing that may not be real or genuine. My appeal to you is to recognize, to conflict or confuse true love with an idea is a great and tragic error. Why? Please, don't combine or confuse these differences, because true love doesn't have a reason. True love doesn't need a reason. If your love needs a reason, it is a form of judgment or an approval that attempts to confuse it with true, genuine, unconditional love. That is agape, the centerpiece of our spiritual qualities. Now, I invite your attention to the gospel, the epistle of John. In John's epistle, 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it denotes John in his appeal to the saints. He addresses it by beginning with, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God is agape, true love, unconditional love. God's love for man and man's love for God. I love Jesus in his discourse with the Pharisees and Sadducees when he was striving to teach. He was challenged by one of the lawyers in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. When they asked him the question, rhetorically, mind you, I guess they figured he was going to trap Jesus by asking him, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment?" Jesus said unto him, I'm reading from the scriptures now, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." But he wasn't through there. He said, "This is the first and great commandment," answering his question. But he said, "In addition," or the scripture says here, "and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Oh, I have a problem in the world we live in today. I'm kind of wondering what happened to us. What's going on in the local churches? Why is it that we are so dysfunctional and separate and impersonal about our feelings? Don't you know? Yeah, watch out, I'm registered. We got to love one another. Not just talk about it, but love one another. What's wrong with us? Why are we not concerned when one of our brothers and sisters is missing, sick, or absent from the family of God? Why do we have to compartmentalizes our relationship with one another? Yes, sir. Yes, I don't go home with Deacon Kearns, but Deacon Kearns is my brother. Now, he have idiosyncrasies that I may or may not like, but he's still my brother. And I love him. Yeah, watch out, Reverend. Don't bother him. Anyhow. Yes, Reverend Minor is not the most prettiest person to look at. He talk about me sometime, but he's still my brother. And I'm not just concerned about him when I see him on Sunday morning. He's my brother. I love the brother, even Reverend O'Rear. Well, yes, Lord. Love is identified by the fact of its origin and actions. Love is God's intrinsic nature and is the essential quality of his actions in all of creation, the heavens, the earth, and every living creature upon the earth, and especially man. Matter of fact, it was penned in Psalms, what is man? What is it about him that makes him so special? Look at Genesis, if you will, the first chapter, verse 25 and 27 from the New Life Translation. In this vernacular, it clarifies for us what makes man so special. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offsprings of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Yes. So God then created human beings in his own image. I place emphasis on the fact in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, the entire world, and every living creature, and especially man, is the evidence of God's love. When you look at the entire world that God created, he created it for the express purpose of providing for man everything he needs to live. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And his intent was to live eternally in peace and comfort and fellowship of his presence. But man walked away from him. God didn't abandon him. He still provided for him an opportunity to reconcile his differences. Woo! Watch out, room register. Shouting territory. God's evidence of love. So how is love qualified by God's intrinsic nature? Good question. The triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and their omni attributes, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent everywhere, at all the same time, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnificent, all creative power. The four omni-creative characteristic denotes the numerology of the Godheads. All three possesses the four qualities which qualify them in relation, yes, to the number 12 that represents completion, perfection, and harmony. You see in this the premise for perfect, unconditional love of God manifested throughout the entire Bible in the dispensation. And when we're talking about dispensation, we're simply denoting a place of time in which God dealt in a particular way with man in relationship to man's sin and obligation. So we look at the three dispensations, the three key anyway, the promise, the law, and the grace. In a matter of fact, in Ephesians 2, it clearly establishes for us in the fourth chapter and a few of the following verses from the King James Version, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Note that the Bible's author is God, its main character is Jesus, and its unanimous theme is love. You read through the Bible, in every chapter, every book, you will find that the sentiment and objective of God is his love. You see, love is action, and his actions are exercised and executed by Jesus Christ. Glory to God. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh in that 14th verse. The Word was made flesh, the incarnate Christ, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You look over in Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 16 and 17, again from the King James Version. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, and I did say all things, were created by him and for him. In that 17th verse, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This is the prolific nature of the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the spiritual, eternal, unchangeable, infinite being, wrapped up in and through it, and it extends out to us and incorporated within our souls, and we are complete in God. The infinite, complete, triune God existed before time and was conceived in the universe in the minds of men. That being understood, we have to understand that there are two kinds of love. Yes, the divine love, the love that is rooted in agape, the foundation of the six branches. What we have is pergma, long-lasting love that endures, philia, affectionate love and friendship, stoge, love for the child, and I'm talking about unconditional love, ludus, playful love, eros, love of the body, physical desires and sexual passion for your mate, your wife, your husband, male and female. Let me make sure I include that. Philutus, love of the self, while on the other hand, the carnal love is selfish, self-serving, and cares more for what it gets from a person or relationship than what it gives in that relationship. Marriage and friendship fail because of this type of love. We measure things. Watch out, rum register. I don't love Vanita for what I can get out of Vanita. I love Vanita because it comes from within me. I'm interested in being with her She told me, she's gonna beat me up now. She told me on one occasion, what about renewing our vows? I said, well, honey, I meant it the first time. I don't have to do it all over again. Yes, marriage and true love. Only when relationships are built on God's love will it flourish. Yes, I thank God for his love. I'm reminded, all right, Reverend Register, of a very familiar song by the Temptations. It was a song that addressed true love. Say, I want a love I can see. Don't want a love you have to tell me about. That kind of love I can sure do without. Watch the punchline. I want a love I can feel. That's the only kind of love I think is real. Don't want, look at the punchline. Don't want a love to be quoted by something I heard now. Cause baby, action speaks louder than words. I want a love, yes, that's mine. In the rain or sunshine. A love to keep warm when it's cold. That kind of love that will never grow old. Oh, brother, that writer was on point. Now I call your attention to the love chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Yes, and though I have the gift of prophecy and the understanding of all mysteries and all knowledge and thoughts, I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, that is agape, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, agape, listen, it profits me nothing. Then he identifies the identity and quality and summation of love. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Yes, charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly. Yes, seeking not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil. But I want to fast forward to the 13th verse. Listen when he says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, agape, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I want to echo in your ears this great acronym for love. L, life. O, objective. V, virtue. E, eternally. Life's objective, virtue, eternally. You see, faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and focus. Love is action. When faith and hope are in line, you are free to love completely because you understand how God's love us eternally. Love endureth forever. In our morally corrupt society, love has become a mixed up term with little or no meaning and no substance. People are still confused about love. But I'm here to tell you, love is the greatest of all human quality and is the attribute of God himself. There's love, yes, expresses itself by loving others. In our text, as we close in John 3:16, it clearly identifies what love truly is, its origin, its actions, and effect. God's love reaches out and draws others in. God's love demonstrates what true love is through Jesus the Christ. Unconditional love. Love that is giving up your own will and desires for the sake of others. Love, yes, making sacrifices for our benefit. Look at God, if you will. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross. That reminds me of a very familiar song. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But from the waters, he lifted me. Thank you, Jesus. I said, from the waters, he lifted me. Now safe am I. I'm here to tell you that love lifted me. God dispatched love from heaven, came down here to this earth, stopped off in Bethlehem of Judea for you and I. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. I tell you, look at love. Healing the sick, raising the dead, open blinding eyes. But the story doesn't end there. Love surrendered himself in the Garden of Gethsemane for you and I. They took him and marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. He never said a mumbling word. They whipped him all night long for you and I. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. It was love, I tell you, that they marched up to Calvary, nailed him to the cross. He stayed out there on that cross for you and I. Hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. He died, I tell you. Yeah. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. They took him down, buried him in a borrowed tomb. But he didn't stay there. He rose. I tell you, oh, yes, he did. For you and I, early on the third day morning, love got up to save a wretch like me, to take me out of a gutter. Yes, he did. What you talking about? Oh, sinner like me.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.